All right, so what was your frame of mind going into this? I know you guys at Nico Spoon like to do, your own versions of classics. What attached you to this project?
Yeah, well, it's a brilliant British piece, and I read it 15 or so years ago and just loved it. I mean, it's kind of the most wickedest black comedy type there is, with a little bit of a hint of Monty Python thrown in. It's that very kind of wacky, weird, awful black comedy that I just love. But it's kind of very wordy and very period-ish in a way, in that Black Plague period. But then the author, because he was a wacky guy, employs weird devices where he puts in songs that aren't period at all. He breaks his own period kind of deliberately. but he doesn't really tell you what period the songs are in, but certainly they weren't singing about this stuff in the Black Plague.
Yeah.
So it gives you a lot of leeway in how to do these numbers. So we've made everything very modern day because all the major themes of all these plague things. I mean, hey, this is New York City. We got measles. We got Ebola. We got, we got AIDS. We got, you name it. We got it. And we're all worried about it. And all we need is a good pandemic to make us all panic. So we kind of just really looked at it from a modern day point of view and modern day musical numbers. We looked at it from we're not trying to present it as, hey, it's a Broadway musical type of thing, but it's, all the diverse cross sections that are in the city and how they would all come together in a crisis. And for a city that, that's been through 9/11 and blackouts and things like this, we had a lot of all of our own experiences to draw upon. So we kind of took it all and put it into that context, as it were, and had a huge cast because there's about 40 roles, I think, played by 24 actors.
So
that's crazy.
Speaking of which, I mean, you need a really special cast to pull this off. So you want to talk about them a little bit?
Yeah, you really do. I mean, the one thing that's essential, because I said, I read it 15 years ago, and there's a central character of a priest who has a revelation that he can best serve God by helping the dying people to die laughing. and so I really thought to myself for many years, I will never be able to direct this until I meet the actor who is this person. And then about 2 or 3 years ago, unrelated to my company, I was acting in a totally different thing with another company. And met the actor. And very shortly after meeting him, I thought, oh, my God, that's my red noses guy. and flash forward now a couple years later, and he's playing the role, which is great. He's playing the central role of Father Float. But that was the important thing, was that. We went through a variety of kind of cast sizes. I think at one point we were up to 26 actors and then we would lose some and then something would happen and they would be light or whatever. And finally I got to the point where we were at 24 and I knew that was the right size. And so we just kept combining them in different ways until it seemed to all work out. Because some of them were playing 5 or 6 different parts. And many of them are playing one part. And so we just did kind of a lot of backing and forthing and trying parts on for size until we reached kind of the perfect combination. And also really a great swath of representation of just all kinds of different folks, which is great. I love it. And an age range of about 50, 60 years, I think, in the play. Our youngest actress is 5, and she's adorable. And I think our oldest actress is in her 60s. So we've got quite an age range as well, which is great.
What do you think you've learned about yourself as a director through this process?
Oh, boy. I think I've learned over the years, because this is our 15th season now, which unbelievably, I think I've learned over the years to trust my own vision, as whacked as it may be at times. because I think there are a lot of directors who maybe don't trust their vision, you know, and you kind of end up with half-baked plays maybe, or half-baked things. And I just learned to throw caution to the wind or just say, you know what, this is what we're going to do. This is my vision. It's going to happen. And just forging ahead with it. I think every play I do as a director informs my work as an actor and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every play that I direct reminds me again of how much I really like actors. I think sometimes directors don't like actors. You know, they're kind of, oh, actors. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, then why are you a director if you don't like actors? But I really like actors a lot. And I think, especially with 24, which literally can be bedlam sometimes, you know, I still am constantly reminded of how much I really like actors. And like how they give themselves to everything. I mean, people just are like, okay, trust you, Stephanie, and they leap into things blindly, you know, and I just go, I love you guys. You're great, you know, because they're game for anything, and I love that about them. Oh, bless their hearts.
who do you think would enjoy this production the most?
Boy, we've heard Monty Python a couple times, like from people in the cast who said, it's still Monty Python-ish. And it kind of is an element. But I think Monty Python fans definitely will be nuts over this. I think casting directors and agents who are looking to see a really incredibly diverse cast should come and see this like crazy, because whatever you want, we have it, you know, and they're all awesome. But I think anybody who, as usual, you know, is looking for something out of the ordinary, something fun, it is hysterically funny, but it also is probably one of the most profound plays I've ever directed, because it really, really deals with all those major issues, you know, life and death and sacrifice and love and good company and companionship and getting through tough times by hanging on to other people, you know, and it's all couched in this black comedy, but there are some deeply, deeply profound issues happening. I always think everything's applicable to everybody. That's what I love about the theater, is that really come and see it, you know. And we're saying if you're 12 and up with your parent, or even 10 and up, a smart kid with a parent, come and see it. Because we have a 5-year-old and a 12-year-old in it. So, and they're doing just fine. So I think everybody should come see it. That's just my point.
So what's next for you and the Spoon?
After this, we're looking to either this fall or next spring, we want to do workshops. 4 new plays by great playwright Vincent Sessa. And then after that, we're going to go on hiatus for a year around June of 2016. We're going to go on hiatus for a year, and I am going to go explore some possible collaborative and further opportunities for the company with a Hawaii, New York City connection type thing.
Mm.
So I'm going to go do some guest directing in Hawaii and work on some stuff there, and then try to figure out if I can do guest contracts or larger projects, which can then be taken internationally. That Pacific Rim area has a lot of international disability festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm exploring a lot of opportunities to try and get some of our company of actors and the folks we're working with into kind of an international arena. So I'm going to take that year to try and springboard some of that and see. Plus, the worst thing happens, I come back to New York, which is never a bad thing. So, you know, and best thing that happens is we work out a lot of international collaboration stuff and kind of get bigger and a bigger international frame of reference. So either way, it'll be awesome. I'm a very positive person.